Want to enlighten my audience as to this marvel of science. You've been listening to Tricks of the Trade, recorded by April Stevens.
Gotta know the tricks of the trade.
After reading the master's autobiography, young magician Eric Weiss assumed the stage name of Houdini. We've got more tricks up our respective sleeves at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Library. I'm Brett Barry.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Thank you for correcting my English with Steve.
KKU, 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui.
It's time to pound the poi on the local show, KAKU-FM Kahului Maui, the voice of Maui.
On the local show with me, Baratoni Midnight, KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui, broadcasting out of Akaku Maui Community Media Center in downtown Kahului, Derry Road. It is Thursday afternoon frights here on the local show, and the guest seat brought up Jaren of Jaren Movie Reviews right here on the local show with me. As always, going to be talking about the Wolfman. I'm going to be talking about some crazy stuff I've been watching on TV. And a little bit of tribute to David Lynch. I didn't get it in time. I had to download a song off of Eraserhead that's very popular, but nobody.
I know, there's a lot of...
download it.
There's a lot of his works that are not streaming anymore. You gotta get that
on
physical.
Unless you go like a Fandango and you download them all or something like that.
You gotta pay for it.
Yeah. Fandango used to be Vudu, right?
Fandango at Home has owned Vudu now. Yeah.
Golly gee.
I know. I gotta change the names on those apps.
The thing though with Fandango is they have a large selection of Criterion.
They sure do.
Films for stream. Yeah.
So. I love the $5 deals. You always gotta check those out.
that's how I watched. I originally watched the Criterion DVD. I rented it from Netflix back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll be talking about that later on.
Yeah.
But we're going to start off the show today with Jaren's recent review. Have you even posted a review on this movie late?
That is actually coming out tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, this is a preview. It's a preview today right here on the local show's Thursday afternoon fright.
Yeah, most of my reviews with you, it's always first. Yeah.
Premiere right here.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're talking about Wolfman.
Wolfman. Yeah.
And it's the same team that brought out they did the Invisible Man.
Blumhouse and Lee Whannell.
Blumhouse. Yeah. Well, hopefully I heard really good things about this movie that came out already. So,
I'm very on the fence about this one. you know what? There's a lot of things to love about this movie, and then there's a lot of things that frustrated me a lot.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get into it. Yeah.
So starting off with the positives, you know, it's Lee Whannell first of all. So you know, I love that there is just a wonderful sense of cinematography.
Okay.
You know, the camera just knows how to shoot, where to go, really build a lot of suspense, especially in the first 5 to 10 minutes, just the way the camera would just like, you know, you'd be in an eye of the scope. Like there's a scene where you see a father and a son out in the wilderness, and they based it in Oregon. and like they're just out in the wilderness and you're just in the view of the scope. Mm-hmm. And just the way the camera in the scope would just pan around the wilderness, and suddenly you see like a very far, distant and distorted image mm-hmm. of the Wolfman.
Okay.
Is quite chilling. And the way they utilize like a lot of the sound design, especially when you don't see the Wolfman, you just hear the growling, the tearing, just like the just a lot of the scuffling that would happen. Like there's even a scene where our family is holed up inside of this farmhouse, and kind of like M. Night Shyamalan's Signs, you know, you do this quick pan around where you're just in the view of our characters and you just hear a lot of these noises happening around and outside of the house.
All right.
So a lot of it is left up to your imagination, especially in the first half of the movie, where you don't actually see any Wolfman. You see like, you know, what it would look like mm-hmm. in a distance in the shadows, and that mm-hmm. is enough to frighten you because you're just hearing it, not necessarily getting a good look.
But from the trailer mm-hmm. originally from the trailer, the family got into an accident, right? And they ended up in the woods at that point, right?
Yeah. So I mean, this movie happens really fast, like right away. This whole almost the entire ordeal happens in one night, which is kind of strange for me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, they're what do you call? Very fast paced.
Okay.
So like right away, the main character, who's played by Christopher Abbott, he decides to take his family along to go to his father's estate in the Oregon wilderness, and boom, right off the bat, ran off the road because of something they saw run across or was standing in the middle of the road.
What was it? The beast.
And, you know, immediately he's attacked, boom, scratch on the arm. Mm-hmm. They are running for their lives. They get to the farmhouse and boom, the entire ordeal of the night is happening.
The slow transformation or
So it's kind of weird
to do with it.
Yeah. So, and by no means, and I love that a lot of the effects are very practical, and especially all the makeup stuff, but it is by no means on the same level of a werewolf transformation as An American Werewolf in London. Okay. But the steps that they take in order for you to feel like your protagonist is cursed mm-hmm. is kind of daunting. And it almost reminded me of Jeff Goldblum in David Cronenberg's The Fly. It has more of it is kind of approached at a more infection type of vibe where his teeth starts coming out, you know, his nails are coming off.
Sounds very, very like he's slowly turning into a zombie kind of deal. It's like a virus immediately kind of deal.
Like his skin starts to like, you know, get all rotty and, you know, distorted. He starts to, his senses too, like you kind of switch over to a point of view where when he's looking at his wife and his kids, it's almost like he's listening to them try to talk to him like they're underwater. Like he is so distant and far mm-hmm. from, mm-hmm. you know, communicating with them. He can't understand.
Wolf taking over kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His certain senses are heightened. There's a scene where he hears thumping happening like upstairs in the second floor. So he goes to investigate it, and it is not what you think. Yeah. And it was weird. I thought it was weird that he was losing hair. I was like, bro, you're supposed to be the Wolfman. Why are you mm-hmm, losing hair? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, you know, the look is definitely going to be divisive because it's definitely not what they showed you on the Universal Halloween Horror Nights. It's a little bit different. If I'm going to be honest, he looks like a white orc from Lord of the Rings with alopecia.
Well, here's the thing. I scanning the YouTubes. They already have like certain clips and things mm-hmm. that they show off on the movies.
They
do. I did see a little bit of it. I'm like, that's kind of odd.
It is odd.
He's kind of bald in this way. I'm like, and it's like some weird scene where he's like busting open his jaw or something like that with his bare hand.
Yeah, and it's because it's his mouth and whatsoever. It's trying to form that little bit of a dog underbite type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So the sound design, very effective. The scares, very effective. Even if you saw some of the scares mm-hmm. in the trailer, mm-hmm. they still got me. Like, I was still jumping in my seat. And there's actually one scene with really good special effects that really grossed me out. My entire theater was, like, grossed out because we had no idea a scene like that was going to show up. But yeah.
Well, gore is in the mainstream nowadays.
Gore is in the mainstream?
Just look at the Substance and all these other movies that are coming out nowadays.
One's an Oscar nomination, you know?
Yeah. So we'll see where the cinema goes from here on out. Mm-hmm. We're going to have more Oscar-winning type movies, but as far as Wolfman, what do you think? No, like Nosferatu.
That's for us.
Some nods already too.
It's got 3-4 nominations as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So unfortunately,
Wolfman is just popcorn entertainment.
It is popcorn entertainment.
Okay.
So if I'm gonna be 100% honest with you, a lot of the there's no big character arc or development in this movie. The movie's pretty short, and so a lot of the emotional arcs, the character development, it's very, very short-lived. And so it's a little hard for you to kind of care about certain things that happen, certain aspects of the character. When you barely really know anything about them, they feel very arm's length and distance. And, you just kind of wish some of the story had a little bit more of a punch. You know, there are things for you as a person who has seen a lot of werewolf movies over the years that this might be another reintroduction, another like an expansion of the lore. But nothing. They really do nothing. It is very straightforward. I mean, survive the night.
Everything I've seen in werewolf films always have a good story arc. I mean, American Werewolf in London, you understand where he's coming from, what they were doing there, and how he's slowly transforming into this thing, and then all this other dramatic stuff's happening. Mm-hmm. Even for The Howling, Howling's got a story there, cheesy a bit, but Jack Nicholson's Wolf, amazing film,
right?
Love it, amazing storyline. With a twist ending that people weren't like expecting.
Yeah.
You gotta really watch it a couple more times to just understand what the twist ending is about. Because you're like, wait. So the whole time kind of deal like that. Yeah.
So
from Wolfman, what you tell me, it's kinda like it's like an action packed film, more like an action packed get in there fast.
It's so I definitely wanna tame your expectations on the action because this movie is slowly focused on the family.
I mean, like, you know how you're saying, like, it's very fast-paced, and then it's like, it's playing out like a short hour and a half type of action movie.
Like I'm used to the slow progression of our protagonist becoming a werewolf, for example, attacked by the beast, but start to go through these changes very slowly.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they're still like, even though the characters take a break and they're like falling asleep and they wake up, it's still the same night. And I'm like, no, like, give it some time.
What was that? Like a 30-minute power nap.
Like a 30-minute power nap. Yeah. For like some reason, I'm wondering, it's like, man, the sun did not come up yet.
Wow.
And so I'm like thinking, I was like, okay, they're kind of keeping this thing completely contained, but yet I also,
and the full moon is out the whole time.
And you kind of where the themes and the stories, like for example The Invisible Man, how that contemporary take was dealing with our universal classic monster, but also adding a modern theme to it where we're talking about abusive relationships.
Yeah.
And so in this one, they have a little bit of a theme, but it doesn't necessarily come full circle. And that's more of generational trauma, like our main character, he grew up with a strict father and he is trying to be a better father, with his own child and also trying not to scar her. But of course, this whole ordeal definitely
very traumatic stuff.
Outweighs that balance. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's kind of sad. Like this felt like half the effort of what The Invisible Man was. Would I rewatch it again? Yeah. Would I recommend to go see it in the theater? Oh yeah. But as far as like story and body count, I mean, The Wolfman 2010 with Benicio del Toro, that had a body count.
Oh yeah.
That had all the carnage candy.
Definitely.
But a lot of your carnage candy is going to come from the one body horror transformation stuff. And that's all you're really going to get. So this movie is hardly bloody and it's not that very story driven. Very, very technical. It's very cool to look at, but it could have been better.
Oh, well, there you go. There you have it, But for people that's like, let's go watch a movie, check something out in theaters.
Yeah.
That's just one movie to go check out.
It's just one movie to go check out.
Check it out. Check it out. You know, you check it out. It's going to be fun, but don't take too much from it.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
It's very simplified. So
very simplified.
Yeah. Okay. If you feel like you got to know the other Wolfman movies, you don't have to going into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Don't need to. But there you go, man. The Wolfman review from Brother Jaron. I'm sure you're going to be posting up a full review on your YouTube channel. If you go to his YouTube channel, it's Jaron _movie_reviews.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Or if you just look on YouTube, it's just at jaronsmoviereviews.com.
There you go.
Not .com, but YouTube. That's the handle. Yeah, not .com.
Let's get some subscribers this way. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so on my end here, I haven't been watching too many horror movies.
No?
Because I overloaded myself. This is what happened, okay?
You did Halloween.
31 Days of Halloween.
You did Christmas.
And then some.
And then
For October. I did 25 Days of Christmas. A little bit and then some, okay? And then after the New Year, I was planning on watching New Year's Evil for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
But I got so tired, I was like, that's all right. I stayed up this late just to watch the whole neighborhood go nuts. I'm done with it.
I couldn't even focus. My God. I don't know about you, but I was in Waiahu when all those fireworks were going off, and I could not breathe properly. I had to call it, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Every year it gets crazier.
Yeah.
All right. But for the new year, from around the holiday time going into the new year, I started watching a TV show. I didn't watch the initial run when it first came out. So I was like, my cousins are like, you gotta watch it. So finally, it's available for free on Tubi. And it's an AMC show called Hell on Wheels.
Mm.
Hell on Wheels. Are you familiar with this TV series?
The name, yes. I always get confused with what it's about.
Well, it's basically like this man, he's an outlaw. He's a Confederate soldier that's on the hunt for the men that destroyed his farm and murdered his wife during the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So he lands into a camp called Hell on Wheels. Hell on Wheels is a mobile camp that on the trail are building up the railroad system that's going out to California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so from like the East Coast, Midwest, onto, and all of his adventures while there. So dealing from Indian attacks to violence within their own camp, stuff like that. The amount of violence in this movie, I was not comprehending how much violence was going on. But then I'm like thinking about it. Well, it came out around the same time as The Walking Dead. So The Walking Dead was paving way already for the amount of violence AMC could get away with at that time. So Hell on Wheels is totally like this. When it comes out to violence and like old duels and just general shootouts and stuff like that, it's there.
Okay.
It's there. There's even like dismemberment stuff going on in here, you know. Like,
so is this more of a action, western, horror?
Western drama series.
Okay.
You know, but the whole thing, so I've only binged through 3 seasons so far already.
Okay.
And
how
the
many
main
seasons are there?
There's 5.
Okay.
So I got 2 more to go.
Gotcha.
But the main antagonist of the film turns out to be this man called the Swede.
Mm.
He's Thor Gundersen, known as the Swede, even though he's from Norway. Because everybody started calling him the Swede during the Civil War. During the Civil War, he was part of a Union army that he got imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And he was
tortured
mm-hmm. real bad, right? Real bad. When the war was over and he was freed, turns out he's become a complete psychotic, like, mastermind.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He has the ability to manipulate people to his own needs and wants, and what he wants is to have revenge on the main character of the show named Colin Bohannon. Colin Bohannon. Colin Bohannon. He's the man that was on a vengeance run throughout the Midwest to find the people that killed his wife. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out he becomes a kind of a leader, and then later on the head manager of the railroad system, mm-hmm. the Hell on Wheels. Yeah. So I watched through three seasons, I watched the Swede slowly utilize his, like, he's almost like Hitler.
Okay.
He has this power over people where he can, like, manipulate them. He puts on a character. So, like, in season one, like, he has power, but then his power is, you know, he comes to a downfall. People, like, you know, discriminate him. Mm-hmm. They think he's scum now. Mm-hmm. So a situation that happened in season one. Season two, you see him become like, oh, I'm gonna use what I can do with my brain to create as much chaos and massacre, like murdering, that he can get away with, just to get revenge on the Colin character, Bohannon character. He manipulates a Native American tribe to attack Hell on Wheels.
Supernaturally or just...
No.
Just by talking. Okay.
This is a madman that has the ability to con people.
Okay.
And to becoming killers.
Okay.
Yeah. So season two, he manipulates a Native American tribe. They become enemies to Hell on Wheels. Battle ensues. In the midst, he does some unspeakable acts. But then when you think he dies, no. You think, okay, he's gone, he's done with this. Later on, he shows back up under the guise of, this is the scariest thing. So when season three came up, and then you see him pop up again, the Swede, and say, what the hell is he doing? He is mimicking a Mormon family so that he can, like, connive his way into this Mormon sect in the Midwest and turn them into killers, and or like make him do his revenge beating for him, yeah. Or something like that. Yeah. Psycho. Totally psycho.
And he's our protagonist. He's the one we follow.
He's the antagonist.
He's the antagonist.
He's the evil villain.
Okay.
We're following Colin Bohannon's storyline.
Okay, story. I got that yeah. swapped.
Talking about the freaking evil genius of the show that Colin has to deal with all the way to, like, the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know what happens to him later on. All I know is it left off with him stuck in a Mormon camp, and the Swede has turned into, like, a bishop. And here's the weird thing about it. In the beginning, he has, like, this Eastern European accent. He is so psychotic that he created a character and took the accent of that character. So he's like portraying, he's like his southern accent. Mm-hmm. I'm a man of God. He's using God's will to exact revenge on this man. He's not killing him yet, but he's slowly torturing him by getting into his mind. Total mind game.
Psychological
torture.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I just want to talk about that because like, you know, I usually see in Westerns, you know, you got a guy, shoot him up, bang, bang, bang. No, you never expect a manipulating psycho to be, like, the main villain of this. So he's the big boss. He's the big bad,
mm-hmm.
that's got to be cut down. But every time when they try to cut him down, he keeps coming back kind of deal. Yeah, it's nothing supernatural about it. He's hard to kill. He runs on lock. Every time you think he's going to die, he doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah. So Hell on Wheels is an interesting show. It's not really horror, but there's horror elements in it. Like, there's a scene where these Irish brothers, they want to make a guy go away, and he's a butcher. And he's surrounded by a lot of sharp objects.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. A lot of really, like... dark stuff like that. And it's amazing too, because like when Hell on Wheels came out, they were the first Red Dead Redemption game came out.
Okay.
And I'm a big Red Dead Redemption fan.
You probably reenacted a few scenes, huh?
Yeah. And for Red Dead Redemption, there's a DLC called Red Dead, Red Undead or something like that.
Red Undead.
Yeah, yeah, where it's like you're living in the same Red Dead Redemption world, but there's like demonic zombies that are crawling all their graves kind of deal like right? But when it came to Red Dead Redemption 2, they like to throw in psychos in there.
Just psychos.
Straight up psychos. So there's horror element in the game. That's why I like Hell on Wheels. Like Hell on Wheels has horror elements in there, mixed in there. You know, the sheer fear of a psychotic man that has the ability to just take your life kind of deal. And then in Red Dead Redemption 2, you get introduced to several different NPC characters along the game where, like, I don't know what their deal is.
Right, because isn't there one dude that could possibly just chase you all around the game? Like, no matter where you go. I think it's a specific glitch that
I think
would happen.
There would be a glitch. But overall, though, in the game, there's horror elements in there.
Yeah.
There's a vampire in Saint Denis, which is modeled after New Orleans.
Ooh.
And you know how many like vampire stuff happens in New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like so many. Like, what was it? Interview with a Vampire, based in New Orleans.
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
And you got me in the mood to watch Sinners already, man.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie got an April release instead of a March one. I'm kind of sad.
I thought it came out already.
No. That trailer's just been around for a long time. But it got pushed back to April.
Yeah. And that's a period piece, too. That's like around like World War II times or something like that in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'll tell you what. One cool thing. And you're not a gamer. Are you a gamer?
No, unfortunately not. I'm sorry.
Man, if you ever become a gamer, you start off with Red Dead Redemption 2 because it has nothing to do with the first game.
Yeah.
You don't need to play the first game to understand Red Dead Redemption 2 because it's an origin game to Red Dead Redemption 1.
Yeah.
But there's this part in the game where you have to go and clear out a cave. And this cave is run by people that live up in the hills in the cave. So hills have eyes type of situation. And when you get to their camp, there's body parts all over the place and over the fire.
Okay.
So there's cannibals in Red Dead Redemption, man. I love that. Like the horror element.
Bone tomahawk or something.
Bone tomahawk. Well, no. When it comes out to the Native Americans, the missions with the Native Americans, very peaceful.
Okay.
We got to stop some Native American rogue Indians out there that have, like, we got to stop them before they kill themselves kind of deal. They're going to deal with the wrong people that have, like, Gatling machine guns and stuff. You know, the old Western ones is like, quick, tell you what, but, yeah, it's a very enjoyable game. But I like it when they put horror elements in the game.
Yeah.
I spent Christmas time playing Dead Rising 4 because it takes place on Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Dead Rising takes place on Christmas Eve or something like that, and a zombie apocalypse breaks out in this town, and you gotta go and find out missions and stuff like that. And I can like drive in a car, there's Christmas music playing, and you can just run zombies down.
Run zombies over.
And it's like you hear the doo 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 doo. I like it. Anyways, you have another movie you want to talk about?
Yeah.
Real quick, that you recently watched.
So I recently kind of heard in the movie community space about a film that premiered at, oh my God. It might have been Fantastic Fest or one of the other film festivals, but I know that as far as the community goes, this movie is called What You Wish For, and I know it ended up having like a limited U.S. release around May of last year, and I've been trying to keep an eye out for it. I heard Nick Stahl was the main star in it. I was like, wow, I haven't seen him since like Sin City and Terminator 3.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, interesting. He's a main character again. And so all I know is that
I remember him from Disturbing Behavior.
That's right,
with Katie Holmes.
Oh my god! Wait, that was a vampire film too. No,
no, it's more like
not vampire.
It was more like a Stepford, like Mind Control type of deal.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, where like they turn the kids into like mindless, like obedient.
Okay, I thought it was teenagers. A werewolf film, but I might be mistaking that for something else.
Yeah,
but yeah, I heard it. If you like that movie, The Menu, definitely check that one out. But
I love The Menu.
Yeah, and so I heard just stay away from the trailers. Stay away from looking up.
Go
into it blind. Yeah. So yeah, I found it on Hulu last night, and I put it on, and you know, it's a little bit of a slow burn, but it starts off with Nick Stahl. He's this guy with a lot of gambling debt, and he flees to, you know, South America to visit a friend. And things start to get worse where he thinks things are okay. Mm-hmm. Something happens and he is just suddenly forced to host some kind of dinner for these elite guests. Mm-hmm. And
Is he a chef by nature? Like, that's his work?
Yes.
Okay.
So the buddy that he's meeting up with is an old colleague who he went to, attended culinary school with.
Okay.
And so they're both chefs. You know, there's moments where they get to show off some of their crafts. So that's pretty cool. And then, you know, they are kind of catching up because they haven't been they haven't seen each other in like 12 years. And so once things begin to happen, you know, a lot of times he has a lot of opportunities to really dig out and leave, but he is just pulled into this very awkward, very dark situation. And just how the event that he ends up hosting kind of goes, not what he expected.
Oh,
and yeah, so
all right.
If you had pre-notions about what The Menu could have been, this is also another example of what could have been. It's a little slower. It's not that funny, but it's very, very dark in a way where it's just kind of like, oh man, I could have got out of that awkward situation. Couldn't get out of there fast enough type of thing, but very interesting, especially for Nick Stahl as your main character. He's not that bad. I thought this movie would have been very indie, but it looked like they had some money thrown around with the production design. Something different. Definitely go in blind, because I was actually surprised with some of a little bit of the twist and turns that they decided to take. I was like, oh, okay, they're really gonna go there. Okay, cool.
Interesting. Yeah. I have Hulu, so as soon as I can, I'm gonna put that sucker on my list. Yeah, put that on the list.
But
among other movies I haven't even watched yet.
I know I have a fat Hulu recommendation list too, but I'm just like, When I have time. Yes. I'm actually surprised. Like, I was, because at some points the movie is a little bit very dialogue heavy, you know, very much like, you know, some scenes you would have to watch and you can't multitask while you're watching it, because there are things that are being done and not said in some scenes. And so part of me was like, I was actually surprised I kind of stayed awake for this one, because I was just like, okay, I'm in. What's going on? How are they going to get out of this situation?
Me too. When I first watched The Menu, I was like, what is this all about? What's going on? And then slowly you start seeing what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh.
Yeah, you feel a little uncomfortable, but you're also curious of how this is going to go.
Play out.
Yeah, how it's going to play out. And that's kind of the vibe I got from here. So,
nice. Yeah. That's available on Hulu. Awesome.
It is, yeah.
Got to check that one out.
Check it out.
Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about, we lost David Lynch just a week ago.
Yeah.
Amazing filmmaker, amazing director. I've seen a lot of, like, reels and stories pop up already about him. Some of the BTS stuff. And, like, this guy was a serious filmmaker. And he wanted his vision to be what is going to be on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So he really, like, he fought tooth and nail, even though he was a a-hole. About it, he created some of the most visionary movies ever made. He was there for the creation of Dune, so he did Dune. Right. But that was in some way his vision, but also a studio's vision as well. So I'm pretty sure that that's one of the movies he wasn't proud of. Some of the first film he like had a complete theatrical release on was a movie called Eraserhead. It's released back in 1977. Now, I put out a note on that. Okay, here's the note. a fun fact, though, about Eraserhead. In 2004, the film was selected by the Library of Congress for preservation in the United States National Film Registry. So it's part of film history now. It was entered in for culturally, historically, and aesthetically being significant as a film. When I first watched the movie, I was like, what is this? There's a clip yeah. of Homer Simpson watching Twin Peaks on TV.
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was like watching it, and then like you see a guy dancing with a horse to like smooth jazz. And then it ends. He's like, brilliant. What did I just watch?
So what is Eraserhead? I have only ever seen from beginning to end one David Lynch movie.
Here's the thing. Yeah. There's a collection of his shorts, and mm-hmm. his shorts are basically what led to Eraserhead.
Okay.
He liked to work with black and white film. Mm-hmm. And it's that time. It's the 70s. Everybody had 8mm black and white, you know. And a lot of the stuff that he did originally were like projects. Project okay. shorts, art projects, and stuff like that. And a lot of it was like that very dark, weird, surreal type of filmmaking, which led to Eraserhead. Okay. Here's a note down here. Okay. Eraserhead is about a man named Henry Spencer. He lives in an industrial-like city. So a lot of backdrop of industrial, like, buildings, dilapidated, stuff like that, in black and white. He and his girlfriend have a baby that is a spermatozoon creature. Meaning that it's a baby that is kind of like the size of this. It's the size of this.
What?
They care for it, but it's in the shape of a sperm that has a body. So you know what a sperm looks like, right?
Yes.
You've seen this the medical stuff, right? Like it fertilized the egg.
Yes.
So imagine the sperm was just in the body and it just was born as a sperm like.
Just as is.
As is, yeah. The tail section became a body with hands, but very little.
Mm-mm.
And, the sperm head with eyes and mouth.
No.
Yeah. And
okay.
Okay. The baby constantly doesn't want to eat any food. It doesn't, it's not one of, like, a natural baby that's like, going to take its mother's milk. No. The mother wants nothing to do with this baby because it keeps constantly crying. And it drives her mad. So Henry is left to attend to the baby just by himself.
Okay.
And the baby starts to get sores on his... it's getting sick. He don't know what to do. He doesn't want the baby to die. So he slowly starts having visions. Where he's like... there's a man on a planet. I don't know what that was about. And then he journeys. He's like his mind journeys into his radiator, in his apartment, where he meets a woman. She is the girl in the radiator. And she performs on stage where she smashes babies like his. With her feet, so smash a little spermatozoon whatever creatures.
Okay.
Smash, and she's got like clouds on her cheeks. And then she sings a song to him. In heaven, everything is fine. And you're like, what am I? Weird, though, the guy that sings that song is the lead singer for the Pixies. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I believe it was it. Yeah. So, and then you just watch him get lost in his brain. Basically, and I forget what the ending was, but yeah. I originally rented it back when Netflix was, by mail DVD.
Yeah.
So it's a Criterion edition.
Yeah.
But I never took the chance to, like, check out the bonus features.
Yeah.
Because I was just too, like, weirded out by just watching the movie initially.
Yeah.
And I was like, now, here's the weird thing, though. Why would you think that movie is called Eraserhead?
I don't know.
Because Henry Spencer's hair,
okay,
is in the shape of an eraser, the top of like a. It's got like a weird like.
Okay, I do remember seeing the physical hard copy with that art. Yeah.
And for the late 80s and 90s kids, he looked like a kid from Kid and Play.
Kid. Oh no. No, 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 no.
I believe he was Kid. Play was the other dude.
You see, the only movie I've ever seen of David Lynch's was
Mulholland
Drive. Yeah. And I'm sorry, I did not get that movie.
I didn't get it either.
I didn't get it.
It's like he makes movies that you don't need to get it. His TV series Twin Peaks is you don't need to get it. It's a story. It's a mystery. It's the mystery of how a girl went missing or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Initially, I didn't understand the storyline myself.
Yeah. Are they dead? Are they alive? Are they dreaming? What is it?
They get... It's weird. David Lynch himself plays a character in Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Where he's hard of hearing, so he yells.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, hi, it's really great to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. See, what is that one David Lynch movie with Bill Pullman?
Is that Lost Highway? I think that's Lost Highway.
It might be, yeah. Well, anyways, I saw a clip, and it really creeped me out. It's one where he's at a party, and he gets a strange phone call saying that, you know, this stranger is outside of his house or something like that. Or inside of his house, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that scene was rather freaky that I want to watch it. And I haven't seen it, but I'm so afraid that if I watch it, I'm going to be just as mad and frustrated with this. Because I'm totally open for these interpretation movies, but some things can be very art house driven.
Very.
And I know that Lynch is very well known for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if I can handle it.
Right?
Yeah.
He did make like one. Oh, God. He made like one serious movie that wasn't art house.
That wasn't art house?
It wasn't. Mm. And it's called The Straight Story.
The Straight Story?
Makes you think differently, yeah. This is the generation with you. Yeah, it's a straight story by David Lynch.
Man.
That David Lynch directed a movie called The Straight Story. Straight is the last name of the guy that the movie is based on, and it's a true story about this man who heard that his friend is dying, but he lives in a completely other state. He can't drive there because he has bad vision, bad hearing. So he jumps on his John Deere tractor and hooked up a trailer to it. And then travels with his John Deere tractor over to the next state to visit his friend before he dies. It's a true story.
And it's just a straightforward...
Yeah, it's a straightforward true story drama.
Oh, my God.
It's David Lynch. Yeah, I never watched it. And it's produced by Disney.
What?
Yeah.
What, Buena Vista?
No, literally, it has Disney... attached to it is like Disney's The Straight Story. It was the 90s, man.
Walt Disney presents
David Lynch's The Straight Story. Oh, my God. So, but he's made some... Mulholland Drive itself is a weird film.
Yeah.
You know, first time I watched it, I wasn't expecting the relationship between Naomi Watts and... Oh, I forget her name, the other actress.
Oh, man.
I only know her from Lombada, The Forbidden Dance.
Oh, The Forbidden Dance.
You ever heard of that movie?
No.
Okay.
I want to know about it now.
here's the connection between a dance movie and Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Forbidden Dance, the Lombada movie, stars as a man. Okay, so the the crazy chick, the one that's like talking like Silencio in Mulholland Drive, that chick, right? Okay.
Yeah.
She's in that movie. She is a princess of an Amazon tribe that goes to Florida to tell America about the destruction of their Amazon by companies that are chopping down their trees for wood, for lumber.
Huh.
She enters the Lambada contest. She introduced Lambada to Florida. Well, the meanwhile, her overseer, her watcher, is a shaman. The shaman has no lines. Basically, almost no lines. The shaman is played by Sid Haig.
Sid Haig? What?
Sid Haig.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yes. Captain Spaulding himself was in the Lambada movie. A dance movie. So that's the connection there. He was in a lot of things. People don't realize that Sid Haig was in so many, like, exploitation and just overall low-budget films in his career.
What about Blue Velvet? Is that movie just as weird? And wait, you know what? That's an understatement.
I never seen Blue Velvet. No? But from what I heard and what clips I have seen, it is very weird. There's a scene in there where Dennis Hopper's got a guy pinned to the wall. So what kind of beer do you drink? And he's like, Heineken. And he's like, BS or whatever. And it's like, Pabst Blue Ribbon. Like, you drink Heineken? Yeah. No. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, I heard. Like,
and then he's like, he's inhaling. He carries his tank of some kind of gas and he inhales it, or oxygen or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. And then, a scene where he's like, you know, looking at between a woman's legs and saying, "Mommy,
oh no,"
mommy. something weird like that. And you know, from this scene, that I'm like, yeah, that's Lynch. That is Lynch. I already know because all you need, you intro to Lynch. Start with Eraserhead and then work your way down the list. You get to Lost Highway. Lost Highway has an amazing soundtrack, by the way, because it's like it's Marilyn Manson and like Nine Inch Nails, so it's like a very 90s grunge, goth, industrial feel to it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then prior to that, I had Wild at Heart with Laura Dern and Nicolas Cage. I haven't seen that movie in completion myself, but We're seeing clips of it because a whole bunch of stuff started popping up with Lynch already.
Yeah.
So there's clips that popped up, and I'm like, okay, I guess I didn't fully watch this movie because there's a scene where Nick Cage and Laura Dern go to a heavy metal dance party, and it's like full on, and it's like, I'm like, oh my God.
Which movie is this?
Wild at Heart.
Okay, that's a Lynch movie too.
That's
right?
A Lynch film. David Lynch. He likes to like mix in pop culture, but like make it surreal.
See, I had no idea how young Laura Dern was back then.
She was young. She was still a kid.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Because I remember
this is prior to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, because No, I didn't know how young she was in that movie too. Like, there's that whole age gaps
major
situation with her Robin and Sam Neill. And it was kind of funny because I'm not finding it here.
What was that?
But I remember seeing some kind of fact about Laura Dern being conflicted to do Blue Velvet because of the subject matter and having to start college. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were at disapproval.
Blue Velvet or Wild at Heart?
Blue Velvet.
Blue Velvet. Oh, she was in Blue Velvet?
She was in Blue Velvet as well.
That's right. I got to watch Blue Velvet.
Yeah.
It was initially on Tubi at one point, and then now it's gone.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at all the stuff because I was like, man, you know what? I just told you that I want to watch Lost Highway, and I'm looking at everything. I was like, well, great. Unless you want to pay on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I was like, if you guys have your Criterion collections of those of David Lynch movies, keep them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep them so you don't have to pay for it twice.
I think Lynch, there was a box set that came out. Mm-hmm. Like Lynch of all the Lynch stuff, and on it had like a DVD or a Blu-ray, whatever format it was, of his early stuff, all of his initial art house short films.
Mm-hmm. So
okay,
because I know that Blue Velvet recently got a 4K release with the Criterion.
That's right. Yeah.
I know, I was tempted to pick that up, but I didn't want to buy, like, I know there's a thing that I'm trying not to do where mm-hmm. I'm trying not to buy, like, Criterion films just because they're Criterion films. Just like, yeah.
By the way, you guys have, to the 24th, I saw something online with Shout Factory, like Carpenter's birthday. So yeah. A lot of Carpenter stuff is available.
Yeah, it's, if I'm going to be honest, they're not. Unless you're buying the Blu-rays,
I'm trying. To get They Live. I want to get the copy of They Live and stuff like that. That's right. So,
yeah.
What do I have?
I still haven't seen that one, by the way.
You haven't seen They Live?
I have not.
Oh man,
I have not.
It's more sci-fi than horror.
Yeah,
sci-fi action, basically. Yeah, and it's Roddy Piper.
He's a wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, he was a wrestler.
Roddy Piper was a wrestler.
Okay,
but he did a couple of movies he acted. So one crazy one he did is Hell Comes to Frogtown, mm-hmm. where he's like a outlaw in the apocalypse.
And
there's a town of mutant frogs that can walk and talk.
Oh god, that sounds very very Miyazaki.
A little bit, yeah. But also it has like the groundwork for like Fallout and stuff too. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, you know, mutations. They're like, oh, hi, how are you doing? So I used to be a frog. Now I'm a walking, talking frog. Hi, how are you? Yeah, but no, They Live is a really good movie because it's kind of like it's John Carpenter's vision of what subliminal messaging can do to people, mm-hmm. but what if it was coming from an alien source kind of deal? And he like he finds these glasses that allow to see the world that really is. World is like, I don't know, it's never explained whether or not like the aliens created Earth, and it's like a Matrix kind of deal. Like, you know, the humans see regular world, but with the glasses there's a complete like black and white vision of the world.
Yeah.
That's in the likeness of the aliens that created something like that.
What was John Carpenter's unofficial apocalypse trilogy again? Do you know? It was Prince of Darkness and then...
Was it Prince of Darkness? I only know Prince of Darkness.
Okay.
He made others?
Well, no. Like, you know how we were talking about like the Fulci stuff earlier?
Yeah.
There was like an unofficial trilogy, like a bunch of movies that same director did, but honing in on the same theme.
I wonder if
I wasn't sure.
Big Trouble in Little China is a part of that, because Big Trouble in Little China is dark magic, but like Asian, like Chinese dark magic in San Francisco. And you find out that San Francisco has a completely like dark world underneath it kind of deal. Whereas for Prince of Darkness, it's the awakening of like, you know, Satan coming back to Earth kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody in this one church. And in this one church is there's like a pod or a vial of liquid that is like the source of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Alex Cooper is in that one. He plays like a homeless person that becomes a zombie that's, you know, possessed by the evil that surrounds the church.
Right. Oh, yeah. I found it. The unofficial trilogy is The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and In the Mouth of Madness.
Okay, In the Mouth of Madness. So yeah, that shows it. It's like that's his Lovecraft trilogy kind of.
Yes, that's what it says.
Kind of deal.
His unofficial apocalypse trilogy that is an ode to Lovecraft.
That's right. Yeah. There's not actually that the thing is completely like people don't realize it. It's cosmic horror because it's it's an organism that can take any shape and form, but when it exposes itself, it's like weird.
I never thought to add that into the category. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's good.
In the Mouth of Madness is a really good one.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's a great movie. I wonder if I have that on Blu-ray. That's another one I gotta get. That's a Carpenter movie. Maybe I should check out that deal with Shout Factory and see if that's available on there. Like DVD $9.99.
We'll look it up after this. We'll go on your computer. Check out the 57% off.
So we've got 3 minutes left. You recently did watch Hell House 3.
Yeah, Hell House LLC 3, The Lake of Fire. Yeah, that one, I'm just going through like my 2B list.
I like 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Yeah. I like how 3 kind of harkens back to the first one, and you kind of find out more about what happened to those characters and stuff like that. But like initially, all the people that are trying to make this into a legit Halloween haunt.
Yeah. I was a little bit iffy about how the movie was trying to always kind of knock you over the head. Well, you remember the characters from part one and part two? And I'm like, it's like the same white people with cameras. And I'm just like, I'm kind of lost because, like, you know, I haven't watched all three movies like close in time together. So I kind of forgot who is, you know, in this movie. So I'm just like watching all these characters and, like, you know, sometimes they'll make mention of the previous people who went missing, the people who tried to revive the Abaddon Hotel. And I'm like, okay, like, why am I gotta see clips? If I was binge watching this at home, it's kind of unnecessary. And it really pays off in the end. You know, they have a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a switch, because I was afraid we were just going to run tread on the same formula. But there are a few, like, differences, or how do I say, different liberties that they decide to take this story. But I don't know why these people don't ever learn their lesson. Like, y'all try to open up the Abaddon Hotel, all hell's gonna break loose.
Why are they drawn to it? But the hotel itself is already like completely haunted. And there's some kind of weird portal within it and stuff like that. So I like even though, like, you know, it has that story going for it. The complete dark atmosphere of all of the films so far. I haven't watched the latest one. It's part four. I haven't watched that one yet.
That one I have to watch as well.
And then, but overall, you know, they have their staple. That clown is in every film.
Yeah.
Every sequel. From the first one to the second and the third, and I believe as well as in the fourth one.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Maybe I'll just go ahead and watch the fourth one, and then we'll have something to talk about next week.
You know? Where's it available on?
This is all Tubi.
It's on Tubi.
Yeah.
Really? The fourth one's on Tubi?
All of them. Yeah. All of them are on Tubi. Yeah.
I didn't watch the fourth one yet.
That's the only reason why I started watching, because I know I watched the first one, and then I guess for some reason number one just felt like, okay, I'm fine. I don't need to watch the sequels. They look like they were rushed. They look very cheap. And I didn't know that the same director did all of them, and it was just something that kind of got noticed during, you know, post-COVID, and I'm like, man, got to watch them all now.
Yeah. It's a good one. I like it. I got, now that you told me that 4 is now available on Tubi, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, all of them are available.
I've been waiting to watch that one, and I don't know where the future of it is, but definitely probably now when we come back next week, Thursday, we'll both be talking about part 4.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's make that homework.
I'll try to take in some more other movies. I've been meaning to, like, check in something, some kind of science fiction thing out or something like that, but anyways, we come to the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in and watching us on the radio and the TV and all that kind of stuff. We'll see you guys again next week, Thursday, here on The Local Show, after Thursday Afternoon Frights. Aloha.
Maui, I'm Sipu Kalimaya of XRG 35 Entertainment Productions.
And I am Deborah, a student in Kalachin's Ribbon Dance and Stick Fighting.
Exergy 35 means liberation of biochemical energy through martial arts movements, meditation, and spiritual joy.
We're here to invite you to the next Kihei Fourth Friday on January 24th from 6 to 9 p.m.
We will be performing and demonstrating the Kali Chi ribbon dance with students, Keiki girls from Haiku and Kihei Elementary Schools in the main stage.
Following Kali Chi's ribbon will be the Golden Dragons Parade with young ribbon dancers as we celebrate the Chinese New Year.
And it's the year of the snake. Come join us.
We'll see you there.
At the Kihei Fourth Friday at the Keiki Zone.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
KAKU 88.5 FM, the voice of Maui.
The Sonic Cafe. It boosted.